I wonder tonight if I were to say the word to follow, what would come to mind? When I was thinking about this, I was a bit lazy and got out my phone and searched up on Google the definition of the word follow. And the answer it gave me was to go after. But perhaps in this day and age, use people maybe associate the word follow more with social media platforms such as Instagram. We all follow people on social media that we know, but tonight I want to ask you, what makes us follow the people that we don't know, the celebrities, the ones that have the blue tick? What is so special about them? Currently, Cristiano Ronaldo is the most followed person on Instagram with 188 million followers. What has he got to offer that makes him so special? What has he got that makes people decide to follow him? Despite being a bit of a fanboy of Ronaldo myself, I'd suggest probably not a whole lot. Tonight, I would like to look at Peter, all told a pretty normal guy. However, the decision he made to follow Christ was far greater than any account we could decide to follow on Instagram. And hopefully we'll take a wee look at that tonight. I've got 5 points, but you'll be glad to hear this will probably be the shortest 5-point sermon you've ever heard. So bear with me. So if you've got your Bible, we're in Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to read, or sorry, Luke chapter 5, and we'll start at verse number 1. I'm going to read that now. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners of Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. So the first sort of point that we're going to look at is the context in which we find these verses. Earlier in this year, a new sort of blue tick, famous Instagram account surfaced. It was none other than the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, Harry and Meghan. They have a mass following, and I suppose a bit like Jesus here, the people pressing upon him, they sort of, I'd say, are probably the closest people to knowing what this sort of fame and importance is like. I think even recently in the last month, Harry spoke about how much of an effect that it has on them in their daily lives. Everywhere they go, they have paparazzi, people following them, just wanting to catch a glimpse of what the royal family is like. When we break into this account in Luke, it's just shortly after John the Baptist has declared, Behold the Lamb of God. This was a massive statement for John to have come out with, and naturally it would have sparked a lot of interest around Jesus and would have attracted a similar sort of attention to him. If you look at verse 1 again, it says, The people pressed upon him to hear the word of God as he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which was really just the shores of Galilee. We can't be sure, but I'm sure you can imagine throngs of people all gathered around Jesus. In human terms, this would have been very overwhelming, I think. And it's quite likely as he was on the shores of Galilee, the waves were splashing around his ankles as he was speaking to the people. So in verse 3, it shows that he asked, he noticed the ships weren't being used and asked Simon that he had just like sort of thrust them out into the water a wee bit so he could preach from there, get away from the crowds a wee bit. The first thing we notice is the attentiveness of the people as Jesus began to preach. I can imagine Galilee would have been a busy sort of seaside location, and the main sort of industry would have been fishing. So these were busy fishermen going about their daily business. But they are making time to hear what Jesus has to say. They knew there's something different about him. So often we get caught up with the busyness of our days and we find that we don't have time for Jesus. Spending time in his word and praying. Yet I guarantee when we come home from school or even when we're at school, we make time to catch up on all the latest news and gossip on our social media. As we will see, by listening and obeying Jesus' commands, like Simon did here, thrusting out a little bit from the edge of the shores, it results in great rewards. So we have the context. Now we have the command that Jesus gives. In verse 4, Jesus says, "Now when he had left the speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." I do say this in reverence, but for Peter, this would have been ridiculous. Any good fisherman would know nighttime and low tide is the ideal time to catch fish, not at high tide during the day when the fish can see the nets. Imagine a pharmacist being told by an electrician what the best drugs to prescribe an ill patient were. It seems silly, doesn't it? But here, a carpenter is telling a brave and hardened fisherman who has a wealth of experience behind him how to catch fish. You'll also notice in verse five, Simon answered and said unto Jesus, "We have toiled all night." Simon Peter uses the word toiled, and in the Greek, that refers to wearisome work. In Northern Ireland terms, these men were already knackered when Jesus gave them this request. They would much rather just finish mending their nets, get some rest, and then get ready to go again later that night. I think it's important to fully grasp the magnitude of the miracle that was about to happen, that we realise just how bizarre a request this was that Jesus was making. The conditions in which Peter was expected to carry out this request were equally as strange. Notice, however, Peter doesn't attempt to reason with Jesus. Rather, he chooses simply to obey. He noticed that this was no ordinary man. He had authority. If you look again, just quickly at verse 5, it says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." There was nothing complicated about this. Peter just had to obey a command. The question I want to ask you is, what about you? What do you do when Jesus asks you something simple like this? A simple command, like respecting your parents maybe, helping out in church, or just being a good witness to your friends in school. What Jesus asks us to do much of the time is actually even simpler than what he's asking Peter to do here. But do we obey? As the boat is launched out, Jesus is launching Peter on an extraordinary journey. He had no idea how by obeying this simple request, his life would be changed. He went on to be a man used mightily by God. Maybe God has asked you to launch out into the deep. Obey his command and he will sustain you and reward you for doing so. After the command, we have the catalyst. The catalyst that really confirmed in Peter's mind that he was going to dedicate his life to following Christ. In verse 6 and 7, we see the miracle. It says, "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink." I want you to see just how astonishing what has just happened is. These fishermen, in all their years' experience, had never seen the like of this. Their minds would have been absolutely blown. Obedience to Christ's commands always results in divine blessing. Here the blessing was a boatload of fish, so many in fact that their nets were about to break. They had to even call their friends over to come and help them. There was that many. I think the lesson we can take here is that when God tells you to do something, just go and do it, even if it doesn't make sense at the time. God told Noah to build an ark because a flood was coming, even though the people had never seen rain. But Noah went ahead and did it anyway. God also called Abraham to pack up his possessions and start walking. Abraham did it, but he didn't even know where he was going. Another example is found in Joshua, where God told the people of Israel to march around Jericho for several days if they wanted the walls to fall down. They also went ahead and did as God had requested. God wants to work through you, and he wants to bless you too, but you have to be like Simon who says, "That doesn't make sense. But nevertheless, God, at your word, I will obey. The catalyst is obviously to Peter giving his life to Jesus, is seeing and witnessing this great miracle. But we're going to look quickly at his conversion. If I was Simon Peter here, after just witnessing this miracle, I'd have been speechless to begin with. And then, as a fisherman, I'd have been overcome with joy and excitement at the amount of fish that had just been caught. Bearing in mind, this has just smashed any record of a catch of fish ever. And this would have obviously been the highlight of Simon Peter's career. But look at verse 8. He doesn't get all excited. He doesn't lose his head. Rather, he falls down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." It's not how you'd expect him to react to a miracle. Peter simply just acknowledges his own sinful nature and asks Jesus to depart from him. He realizes his sin puts distance between himself and God. All other thoughts about the fish are taken away. In verse 5, Simon addresses Jesus as Master, but now he addresses him as Lord. Simon Peter has made the decision to make Jesus Lord of his life. He has noticed the difference. Can I ask you tonight? You might have launched out into the deep. You might have gone to church. You might have read the Bible from time to time. Maybe you've even served on a mission team. Though can I ask you, have you ever acknowledged your sin? 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Have you admitted to Jesus the problem of your sin, as Simon Peter did? The reality is tonight that your answer to that question will determine where you'll spend eternity. Have you accepted Jesus as Lord of your life tonight? If not, I urge you to do so. I told you I'd be short, so this is my final point, the calling. Look at verse 10. Jesus has just given these men the biggest success in their fishing careers. Never in all their lives have they caught this many fish. In today's terminology, we could say this was their big contract. This was a huge opportunity for them, a money-making chance of a lifetime. Their boat had finally come in. It was that full that it probably took ages to manage to bring the boats to shore. But it was finally in. But look what happens. Jesus tells them, "Leave it. From now on, you will catch men." I'm going to paraphrase. Basically what Jesus is saying here is, you think this is a big success? It's a bigger success to catch men. You think catching a boatload of fish is great? Try reeling a human life into the kingdom of God. That's what's even more exciting. We're also reminded of this in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, where it says, "He that wins souls is wise." If we have accepted Christ as our Savior, he asks us to do the same, to leave everything and give him our all. The fact these guys were fishermen also bears a bit of significance. Their lives revolved around fishing. They were always busy, preparing to catch fish, catching fish, maintaining their boats and nets. If we are to become fishers of men, we also need to be like this, busy in God's work. Just to conclude, we have the context where Jesus had arrived, the excitement around seeing Jesus, people gathering to see what he had to say, what was different about this man. Then we see Jesus commanding Peter to launch out into the deep. Then we see the catalyst for his conversion. The miracle that took place, when the nets broke, they had to call another ship to bring in all the catch of fish. But Peter doesn't get excited. There's a conversion. He departs he asks God to depart from him and leaves his sin before the Lord. And once he has done so, there is a calling. The calling is to catch men. Simon Peter and the other disciples forsook all and followed Jesus. We can do the same. It's just as simple as following that celebrity or influencer on Instagram. The only difference is, this man Jesus, he cares for you and he gives you something in return. Follow him and you can have eternal life.